Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, Sinn Féin's Eoin Óibrin and Fianna Fáil's Michael McGrath debate the impending motion of no confidence in Minister Simon Coveney. Women of Honour, Katie Hannan, on her new radio documentary detailing bullying, assault and sexual harassment of women in the military. 20 years on from 9/11, the brother of one of the victims, about finding peace and forgiveness after meeting the mother of one of the terrorists. Philomena Begley and David Brady joined Des Cahill to look ahead to tomorrow's All-Ireland showdown between Tyrone and Mayo. We'll have the best of what to watch this month and the gathering casts an eye over the week just gone. Text us this morning 51551, email today cb@rte.ie, or on Twitter we're at Today with Claire. Next week the Dáil returns, and already we know that Sinn Féin plans to table a motion of no confidence in Foreign Affairs and Defence Minister Simon Coveney over his handling of the Catherine Zappone controversy. Last night Fianna Fáil's thinking got underway in Cavan, where they discussed the party's poor performance in the 2020 general election. Taoiseach Micheál Martin faced strong criticism over his leadership from party colleagues. Amongst those was Fianna Fáil TD for Carlo Kilkenny, John McGuinness, who in his absence sent a letter to the government chief whip, Jack Chambers, calling for a new party leader, saying the baton must pass on now. In a moment, I'll speak to Eoin Óibrin from Sinn Féin and Michael McGrath from Fianna Fáil. But before I came on air, I spoke to John McGuinness, and I started by asking him to explain the contents of that letter, and he answered by explaining why he sent the letter but didn't attend.
Well, it was my means of communicating with the parliamentary party, because the date of the meeting had been changed and I wasn't in a position to attend. I did ask the whip and the chairman to circulate the letter at the meeting so that people would be aware of my opinions on the various issues that would have been discussed. And I felt it necessary because, you know, Fianna Fáil is at a crossroads in terms of examining all of these issues and planning a way forward in terms of policy and change or reform that's needed. And I put my views in relation to the main issues to make it clear that I was unhappy with the direction that the party was taking, unhappy with the reports that I had read into the 2020 election, and I wanted to air my views.
Okay, but this was the most important think-in, it's the only in-person think-in for a number of years, and arguably the most important one for years, and yet you didn't go.
I wasn't in a position to attend, Claire. I had changed my diary on two occasions, if not three, and I wasn't prepared to change the date again. It was quite clear that the September the 1st meeting was arranged, agreed, and everyone, you know, changed their diary accordingly. I did ask for a Zoom connection to that meeting. I think that would have been reasonable to grant that, but that wasn't available either.
Okay, so you weren't there. You sent this letter in and you were very critical of Fianna Fáil, very critical of the leader. But the leader is the Taoiseach right now, and he will be the Taoiseach. Is it not the worst time to be asking for him to be taken out?
No, every party has, you know, its responsibility to change, to renew, to reinvent itself and to move on. And whether you have a leader that is in that kind of a position or not, if you do not, you know, change and move on, well, then you will be left in the doldrums, as it were. And Fianna Fáil has been in the doldrums in terms of polls over the last 10 years. So the first obligation is to have that discussion at party level, to decide how you're going to move forward and to air your views, and then to plan. I'm not expecting that we would have a new leader overnight. I'm expecting that we would do it differently, that we would give it time, that we would consider the process that we would spread it out over a period, and that the candidate would then be given a chance to put their names forward, to discuss their gender with the various members of the parliamentary party and indeed the organisation.
So what's your What's your timeline on that?
I think that we should begin that process now. I think that the plans should be put in place to discuss all of this with the organisation, with the members and those that have a vote, and then we should move to the point where we see what candidates are available and determine how best they can make their pitch for the position that would be available at that point.
So should Micheál Martin remain in position until his term as Taoiseach ends at the end of next year?
I don't think so. I think that any new person that would come into that position as leader of Fianna Fáil, and indeed in this case as Taoiseach, will need time to bed into the organisation, will need time to put in place all of the reforms that will undoubtedly be necessary. And as I say, given an ease of changeover rather than what we had historically of a row and a heave and another heave, that we would do it constructively and respectfully, respecting the fact that Micheál Martin has made a contribution in the 10 years of his leadership.
Is this respectful?
We need to move on.
Is this respectful and constructive? You have a person who is leading the country. He spoke about it in Morning Ireland through COVID, through Brexit and all of the other challenges that he's dealing with. And you're talking about replacing him in the middle of this term.
But everyone gets replaced, Claire, and there's never a good time to replace anyone. And I'm talking about an election and a replacement that would be done respectfully over time. There is no need for one of those heaves that we read about so often from the past. And I think that we do have to look to the future. There is a new demand on political parties now to embrace the country and the direction that we're going in, but also to explain to people as to how your political party is different than the other. And unfortunately, that difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael has not been emphasised enough and has not been talked about enough. So therefore, people look at Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael as almost being the one. And I'm very unhappy with that.
Mm-hmm. Just going back to your letter, you describe Fianna Fáil's relationship with Fine Gael as having to bend like a daisy in a storm every time Fine Gael sighs. And now you'll have to vote confidence in Simon Coveney, it looks like, next week when Sinn Féin tables its motion of no confidence. Are you prepared to do that?
Now, there's an opportunity in terms of new politics for Fianna Fáil and indeed for Fine Gael to discuss what did happen with Simon Coveney and this appointment, and discuss the real truth that Micheál Martin was simply not told about it, and then decide what the sanction would be. It's too easy to reach for, resignation every single time that something happens. But there is a need for some form of sanction. So in the course of considering that motion of no confidence within our own party, I will certainly be exploring other ways of dealing with issues like this. But the fundamental issue here is that the policy differences between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are not being emphasised enough, if indeed they exist at all. Okay. And I've listened to other colleagues and indeed the Taoiseach acknowledging the fact that we are not seen as different, and that there isn't enough being explained to the public on this issue.
What's the sort of sanction that you would like to see Simon Coveney facing if it's not resignation?
Yeah, I think that resignation, as I said to you already, is something that people reach to as a knee-jerk reaction to everything. But the sanctions, I haven't gone through what the sanctions might be, but I'm currently looking at what might be the sanctions in other countries. And in the course of the discussion on this, now that I know that the motion will be put down by Sinn Féin, prior to that Dáil debate, I think that we need to look at what happens elsewhere and take best practice and look at it.
Will you vote confidence in Simon Coveney?
I don't know yet. I will look at all of the issues that have arisen because of Catherine Sabourin's controversy. I think that it was very badly handled, and I think that it's not the only issue that was badly handled. The Cabinet have handled that issue badly, and they have also handled the issue of the €80,000 increase for a Secretary General's pay. And those two examples tell me that Cabinet is not functioning as cohesively as it should, and is not respectful of the opinion of the country, that there is a need for a new, honest, transparency and accountability.
Just when it comes to this vote, Micheál Martin was asked about it this morning, and he said there are rules in place, party rules, government rules, long before he came into the job. That would seem to suggest that if you vote no confidence in Simon Coveney, you'll be out. Are you willing to accept that?
Yeah, and the question has to be asked, is that the right action to be taken against a backbencher? Is it modern politics that this whip would be used every single time to get something across the line? We objected way back in terms of another issue that confronted the backbenchers at the time, and because of the fact that it was overwhelmingly the view of the backbenchers that this should be a conscience vote on that issue, then it was given. And I think on this issue, after we discuss the resignation motion, after we discuss the other sanctions that might be available to us, I think it's fair that backbenchers then would be in a position to say to the Taoiseach, well, look, this is my firmly held position, and am I now going to lose the whip because of this?
Yes.
It's an old-fashioned, old-style management of a party, and it has no place in Irish politics today.
You've objected to confidence and supply. You objected to going into coalition. You're objecting now to the leader continuing in his role. You could just leave Fianna Fáil.
I could indeed. But Fianna Fáil is the party that I choose to be a member of. And I want to change that party from the inside, because it was not always like this. There was always a great organisation there. There were people that are proud to be members of Fianna Fáil. But Fianna Fáil have been blown off course. And in the context of confidence and supply, they have been disgusted by the fact that we used Brexit and other matters to continue to accept what was going on in government at that time and continue to go beyond the date where we should have stopped in the context of our support for confidence and supply. And going into government with Fine Gael, I said prior to that, there isn't the thickness of a ballot paper in the difference between the two parties. It is up to us within Fianna Fáil, and I would encourage people that are listening and that know what's going on in Fianna Fáil to change that direction, to change that focus, to give voice to those that want to have a change in direction and in policy, and to embrace that change and that new politics. It's not good enough that we would just trundle on the way we are, stay at 11 to 15%, we have a duty and an obligation from within the party to change what we see that is wrong. Okay. And that is what I'm doing.
John McGuinness, thank you for joining us on the programme. And I'm joined on the line now by Sinn Féin spokesperson on housing, Eoin Óibrín, and Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Michael McGrath. You're both very welcome. Eoin Óibrín, I'll start with you. I'm sure you were listening to the Taoiseach this morning on Morning Ireland, and he talked about your motion of no confidence, describing it as old-style, naked opposition politics, basically a stunt. What do you say?
Well, of course, given the fact that we've been left in this position because of the failure of the Taoiseach to act himself, he would say that. Look, the issue at the heart of this is, in the first instance, cronyism. But the creation of this special envoy role and the appointment of Catherine Sapone is another example of the kind of way in which Fine Gael, in particular, but also this government, does its politics. But worse than that, when the government and the Minister for Foreign Affairs were caught out, we had two very questionable appearances before an Oireachtas committee. My view is the minister misled that committee. But even if you were generous about his performances, you would say that his story is confused and contradictory.
Okay, but Micheál Martin, hang on a second now, because you make that claim of cronyism, and Micheál Martin firmly pointed the finger back in your direction today over cronyism. And in the Irish Times today, two appointments were highlighted. The Sinn Féin Senator Lynn Boylan, appointed by Sinn Féin to the board of Safe Food Ireland. Pádraig McLoughlin, appointed by Sinn Féin to the board of Intertrade Ireland. Is that not the same thing?
No, because as Micheál Martin knows, political parties don't make appointments to All-Ireland bodies. Those appointments are formally made by the All-Ireland Ministerial Council. On that body sits the political parties and the two governments. So, in fact, when any of the political party nominees are appointed by the North-South Ministerial Council, it is with the approval of the two governments. And Micheál Martin knows that.
But there was no reason why they had to be Sinn Féin members who were appointed to those boards.
there's actually very good reasons why that would happen. These are very sensitive All-Ireland bodies. The way in which the appointment process has been put together under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement is to ensure a proper balance of unionists, nationalists and Republicans. But be very clear, the appointments to those boards are made formally, and this is minuted and I can provide anybody who wants them at the minute, by the North South Ministerial Council, on which sit all of the parties in the executive and the two governments, the Irish government and the British government. So the Irish government made those appointments through the All-Ireland Ministerial Council and never once objected to the nominees from any political party. So it simply is not comparing like with like.
But your party explanation to the Irish Times this morning is that you decided these people were the most suitably qualified candidates. That's the same as the Zappone controversy, isn't it?
I think you're missing the point, Claire. The formal
No, that's your own party's explanation for these appointments.
But what I'm saying to you is you're missing the point of what I'm saying to you. The formal appointments to the North-South Ministerial Council, or sorry, to the All-Ireland bodies, are made through the North-South Ministerial Council. The Irish government agreed to and formally nominated all of the party's nominees, not just the Sinn Féin nominees, but from all the other political parties. We followed the procedure to the letter of the law, unlike Simon Coveney and this government, with respect to Catherine Zappone and the special envoy. And that's before we even get to the deletion of government communications in clear breach of the FOI legislation.
Okay, let's come to Minister Michael McGrath on this, who's been listening in. I mean, you accuse Sinn Féin of old-style naked opposition politics, but really the reason we're here is because Fianna Fáil downplayed all of this from the get-go, the Taoiseach calling it melodramatic, not much from yourself as well, it has to be said. It took Jim O'Callaghan coming out during the week to take the legs out from under Fine Gael. That's what you should have done in the first place.
Good morning, Claire. Well, the bottom line is that coalition government is about trust and it is about mutual respect. And the truth is that there was a serious lapse in this instance in relation to the appointment of Catherine Zappone, and Simon Coveney has now apologised a number of times, as I believe he was right to do so. It should not have occurred in the way that it did, and it can't happen into the future, and damage was done.
But you were too, you as a party, too muted in your response, which leads to the point where we are now, Sinn Féin's motion of no confidence in the Fine Gael minister.
No, I don't accept that opinion. Minister Coveney went before the committee on two occasions. I think that when you look back, it was wrong to have the committee appearance in the first instance before the document pack was released. Those documents should have been available to the committee before a hearing was held, so that the hearing could be more substantive in nature and deal with the issue. But the substantive point here is whether a dismissal of a cabinet minister is proportionate to the issue at hand, and it is my view and it is the party's view that it is not proportionate in this case. Mistakes were undoubtedly made. They cannot be allowed to happen again. Government operates, as I said, on the basis of trust and mutual respect, and Fianna Fáil in government expects and will demand to be treated with respect by our coalition partners, and that will have to happen in the future. There was a lapse here and it cannot happen again.
Jennifer Carr-McNeill, Fine Gael TD, is also in the studio listening to all of this as well. Where does this go?
I think, look, we've had Simon Coveney appear before an Oireachtas committee twice. He apologised to the Taoiseach for his error on the very day of the cabinet meeting. He's apologised twice. He's been held to account by the Oireachtas, as is appropriate. We move forward next week and the dole is coming back, and we should be talking about housing for all. We should be talking about the back to school issues that are being, you know, well managed by the Department of Education. We should be talking about our public finance deficit, which is one of the highest in the developed world. These are the challenges for our state. These are the things that we should be using dole time to talk about, but Sinn Féin has decided to use its time to talk about something that has already been dealt with a number of times by the Oireachtas. And you know, it's about proportion and it's about balance. As the Taoiseach said this morning, this is a disproportionate response, and it reminds me of November last year when Brian Stanley, chairman of the PAC, which I'm a member of, got into difficulties, made it really an appalling tweet. And as a member of the Public Accounts Committee, my response was to ask him to make an account of himself for that in the Dáil. I never asked for his resignation, though I was given the opportunity to. I never ever did that because it was a disproportionate response even in that instance. And that's even before he had given an account
of
himself.
So what's Sinn Féin trying to do?
Sinn Féin are trying to drag, you know, a purely populist story which required an answer, required an apology, was badly dealt with, but has been dealt with by the Oireachtas. Drag it into next week just for headlines. And it's this same sort of just pure populism, just pure headlines, instead of really getting down into the detail, the substance of the real challenges that face this state.
Michael McGrath, if Fine Gael were to apologise formally to Fianna Fáil over this, rather than just Simon Coveney apologising, would it go some way to repair the damage?
Well, the minister concerned has apologised publicly and privately on a number of occasions, and you know we take that in good faith.
It goes beyond that, though, because Jim O'Callaghan said that a number of ministers, in Fine Gael ministers, have been disrespectful to their Fianna Fáil colleagues. It goes beyond Simon Coveney.
Well, you're broadening out the discussion now, Claire, as is your right, and you know we're focusing here on the particular issue at hand and the vote of confidence next week in the minister, and I think we have to take that on its merits. And Owen there was very disingenuous and misleading in relation to his defence of Sinn Féin appointments. While appointments get rubber stamped by the North South Ministerial Council, he knows well that the practices that the Irish government would never interfere with names that are brought forward by Sinn Féin ministers and the Northern Executive to that particular North South Ministerial Council. He knows that well, but of course, you know, he deliberately gave a different impression there. Like, we're focused on the issues that really matter to people. This will be the first opportunity for the opposition to put a motion of substance before the Dáil in 8 or 9 weeks. We're living through a global pandemic. We've brought forward a €20 billion housing plan. We have a new climate action plan coming. We have a €165 billion national development plan. We have a budget in less than 5 weeks, and this is what Sinn Féin decides to focus on. And I think that that is not where the Irish people have their focus at this time.
Okay.
And when Brian Stanley issued those disgraceful tweets, including a homophobic tweet, he didn't resign as chairman of the Public Accounts Committee a number of months ago.
Owen O'Brien.
Well, first of all, we'll be using our Dáil time to raise all of the issues that both Jennifer and Michael McGrath suggested we should do. I'll be tabling legislation next week to try and undo the damage Dara O'Brien has done with a sweetheart deal for land developers, something he snuck in.
No, that's fine. But on this issue, you are deciding to use your time with this motion of no confidence when all of these other issues need to be dealt with. And you could argue that the sole aim of this is to make Fianna Fáil uncomfortable. Now, who does that serve?
First of all, we will be using our Dáil time next week for a variety of issues. But let me also say this. You see, the way in which Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and their insider dealing has been revealed with respect to the appointment goes to the very heart of government. This is how these parties do business, not only in these appointments, but in housing, in health, in childcare, in education and taxation. And that's why we have crises in so many of these areas. This type of old-style insider dealing politics has created huge difficulties for people in terms of accessing affordable housing, affordable childcare, or essential healthcare. And until we
it's a bit of a stretch to use one appointment and extrapolate all of what you've just said from that one appointment.
But it's a way of doing politics. So, for example, Claire,
can I come in there?
But let me answer the question, Claire. This week we're dealing with legislation on housing to undo the damage of an appalling...
No, I don't want to talk about housing. I want to talk about this motion of no confidence. You have said, you've taken this one appointment, and you say it indicates malpractice across a whole range of areas.
And I'm going to give you another example of that, if you let me, which is housing, because you said, why aren't you raising housing? And I'm saying we are. We've had a situation this week where we've had to introduce new legislation because of appalling fast-track planning legislation that was introduced during the last government as a direct result of insider dealing and cronyism with the property industry. And who fast-tracked that legislation back in 2017? Simon Coveney. This is how this government does business. This is why we have crisis in health.
Michael McGrath, you wanted to come back in there.
That's why we have to do this.
Go ahead, Michael McGrath.
Sure.
Well, you know, Owen is trying to give the impression that Fianna Fáil is defending the manner of disappointment. We're not. We've taken issue with it, and that is what has led to the position where we are now, where the Minister has apologised, rightly, and has given a commitment, and Fine Gael have given a commitment, that this will not happen again. A new process has now been...
Is that enough, though? See, the problem is it's not enough. John McGuinness this morning talking about, and he says this is not a resignation matter as far as he's concerned, although he's yet to consider how he's going to vote in the motion. But he says that Simon Coveney should be sanctioned. Do you agree?
Well, I think the most important thing here, Claire, is how we do our business into the future. And when I look at the...
So that's a no then.
Well, can I just finish the point? When I look at the reform agenda that I have in my own department, which actually is central to a lot of this, reform of freedom of information, which has commenced, the preparation of legislation around whistleblowers, strengthening and protecting their rights, reforming the whole area of lobbying, legislation being prepared there, an overall review of ethics legislation. I look at the way in which we are handling very significant national appointments. For example, the Ombudsman is retiring and will need to be replaced. We're going through an open, competitive process, and I will be consulting with the opposition in relation to that, because it's a really important appointment. This is how government should be doing its business, and this is how Fianna Fáil in government will conduct its business. What happened here should not have happened. It can't happen again. A marker has been laid down by our party, and I think that is understood across the board.
And it's enough for Fine Gael to say, or Simon Coveney to say, I'm very sorry. For Fianna Fáil, that's enough. Everybody moves on.
We'll have the debate next week, and I think it is opportunistic from Sinn Féin. I think they're attempting to create a lot of discomfort for members of our own party, because this is a difficult issue for us. You know, we didn't draw this on ourselves. We weren't involved in the manner of the appointment until it came to Cabinet. And so, you know, they're calculating that this will create political problems. But look, for the ordinary people out there, that's not really what they're interested in. I think they want the government's housing plan to work. Okay. They want to see us starting to build affordable homes, and that's where we're going to be focused over the period ahead.
Jennifer Carroll McNeill.
Well, this is a choice about how we do politics from now on, and it really is coming into focus. I mean, what Sinn Féin are saying is that they don't believe Simon Coveney, but they also don't believe Niall Burgess, one of the most senior civil servants in this state, who has been negotiating Brexit along with his senior counterparts, who said the same thing as Simon Coveney. That's a very chilling, difficult thing to listen to, and it speaks to how we're going to talk about politics, how we're going to do politics. About those appointments in Sinn Féin, you know, it's a sort of a substance-free but a very stylish zone, insider this, crony that. But, you know, look at that story that's just today in the paper about appointments made by Sinn Féin. Yes, the Irish government, you know, stamps the Sinn Féin appointments because, like so many other things, it preserves the Sinn Féin, you know, the sectarian divide that is our northern politics. Simon Coveney's up there trying to restore the executive, bring everything back. You look at the Irish appointments, the Irish government's appointments, they're all people from sectoral, from Irish language, education, media. Six out of the Sinn Féin appointments are all Sinn Féin members or former representatives. So let's just, you know, take a step back and talk about how we're really going to do politics in Ireland from now on. Are we going to do disproportionate responses to things that have already been dealt with in front of Oireachtas committees that have been properly apologised for and accounted for? Or are we just going to zoom further and further down a sort of a Trumpian Brexit style head getting that does nobody any good? We've too much to do in this state.
Well, look, if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were serious about this, then they would have used the public appointments process, because that is the appropriate procedure. But not only did that not happen, Simon Coveney still hasn't given a coherent or credible account either of the appointment or of his deletion of government communications that are covered under FOI legislation. And you don't address wrongdoing by government ministers by simply allowing him to apologise, albeit 7 weeks after the story
first emerged. He apologised on the day. On the day,
almost,
and the Secretary-General said the same thing
almost,
as Simon Coveney. So do you not believe Niall Burgess as well?
Well, first of all, Jennifer, if you have the courtesy to let me finish. 7 weeks into this story, and we still don't have a coherent or credible response from government, and no sanction whatsoever. That is not a good way to do politics. And again, the Taoiseach very, very carefully avoided the issue of deleting FOI records and the inconsistencies in Simon Coveney's presentation to the two Oireachtas committees. So I have to say, we've been left with no other choice. Be very clear, this is not just about one appointment. This is about the way in which Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have and continue to do government business.
Okay.
And that is infecting all other areas, particularly areas like housing and health,
and you
which
made
is
that
why
point.
It needs to be dealt with once and for all.
Owen O'Brien, Michael McGrath, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, thank you all. I'm sure we'll return to this topic when we have the gathering later in the programme. But coming up next, Women of Honour, Katie Hannan on her new radio documentary detailing bullying, assault and sexual harassment of women in the military. That's coming up after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.